Hello, and welcome back to Loving Yourself Completely with me, Sarah. I hope you're all having a wonderful week and had a great weekend. We had that wedding over the weekend that my husband was in, so of course our weekend was so busy. We had the rehearsal Friday, and Saturday was the wedding, and then Sunday was recovery. My husband and I aren't drinkers or anything. We weren't recovering like that, but it is an exhausting time when you're a part of such a big event. My husband really enjoyed himself and had a great time. This was one of his dear friends that he had known since high school. So it was a beautiful thing to see, and I wish them forever amount of happiness. They definitely deserve it. So welcome to Loving Yourself Completely. I hope you guys know on this podcast, you know, we talk about mental health and self-love and personal growth and things like that. And every once in a while, I like to go back in and readdress how to start having a healthy well-being and self-love and empowering yourself on the journey to loving yourself completely. I think starting out, if you go back to episode, you know, say the first season of this podcast, I was definitely, we were in different places, and I had listened back, I think a couple weeks ago, to like episode 2 or 3, and it talked about so much of, you know, anxieties and what to do and how to start loving yourself. And it's been such a journey of going, okay, I wish I could go back and say this differently or say this differently and say what I know now. And I think that made me excited because I thought to myself, wow, I've come such a long way, and I hope my listeners have come such a long way. I think that that's such an exciting thing to know that you have created a new self-love for yourself in such a short amount of time. You know, if somebody jumped on this episode and was like, oh my gosh, loving yourself completely, I want to love myself, and they dove into last week's episode of just checking in, they'd go, oh no, I'm not. That's not where I'm at. Like that's why I'm looking for a mental health podcast, because I'm struggling so hard. It would almost be like they need to go back to the beginning and go, okay, yes, I am having anxiety. I am having anxiety attacks. I am starting to create boundaries with people. It's hard to even find people on the same self-growth journey as you. I have a couple of friends who are in different spaces and different parts of their self-growth journey. And I think that, yes, that's exciting, but it's also hard because they'll want to be where you are. You want to be where they are, but you can't cheat. You can't skip steps. You have to do the work. If you don't do the work, it's going to feel like your life is falling apart and you could take 20 steps backwards. So you really have to start slow. That would be like somebody who's never lifted a weight a day in their life, and they picked a personal trainer, and this bodybuilder guy came up and said, hey, person who weighs 90 pounds, why don't you go ahead and deadlift 350 for me real quick? And they're like, oh no, I quit. I'm going to leave. I'm never coming back. You're crazy. You have to do the steps to get to where you need to be. And everybody is in different places, and that's okay. I really do want to talk about that today. You know, I believe self-love and mental well-being on this show, I believe that I hope that I inspire you, empower you, and do this and support you on your journey in loving yourself completely, not only through these episodes, but through emails or through messages. I've given some of you my phone number. There's so many things, and I know so many friends of mine. Sorry if I'm a little sniffly. I think I'm sick. Anyways, I have so many friends of mine that I know personally that, you know, we talk about these things with. And I really do. I believe that self-love is something that's so important to create slowly. I think slowly you have to do the work, and it's a lot of work, but I think that it's work that is definitely, definitely worth it. So on today's episode, I want to discuss a topic that is really close to my heart, and that's setting and achieving mental health goals. We all have areas in our lives that, you know, where we want to improve our mental well-being. And I think it does. It all starts with self-love. So without further ado, let's get started. You can shop at Sarah Bauer Boutique at www.sarahbauerboutique.com. And really pay attention to our slogan of give them a reason to stare. I love that it's multi-purpose of you feeling so good in what we sell and what you are wearing that you go, oh, go ahead and look, like I feel confident. And also go ahead and look, I don't care, you know? And that's my goal for this entire, for my entire business is that you feel confident in what you're wearing and how you purchased it, and that our items can be worn in so many different ways. You can take that tennis skirt and tube top and repair that skirt with a t-shirt and a jean jacket in the fall. And I think that that's a great feeling, knowing that the items that you're getting can be worn multiple different ways and occasions and dress them up or down. I think that's such an exciting thing about clothing. And knowing that you're truly getting your money's worth is such a great thing. That gorgeous tank top bodysuit with shorts that you wore can also be worn with jeans and a cardigan. And I just really love the brand and what it stands for, that I put my whole heart into it. And I hope you guys see that. So remember to shop Sarah Bauer Boutique and really feel confident every single day. Okay, so one of the most significant steps, I believe, in improving your mental health is setting clear and achievable goals. These goals can be big or small, but they should definitely be meaningful to you. Just take a moment, okay, and think about your own mental health and goals and what's something you would like to work on or improve your overall well-being. Remember these goals. They are personal. And there's no judgment here, of course. They can range from managing stress better, improving self-esteem, to building healthier relationships in your marriage and your family, just in general. Building these healthy relationships can be a key to living a happier life with the people you surround yourself with. Now, oh my goodness, gracious. I'm so sorry. Because I'm getting sick, I'm short of breath this week. So please bear with me. Now let's talk about how to achieve these goals. It's essential to break them down, I would say, you know, into smaller achievable steps that makes your journey feel less overwhelming, I would say, and more manageable. Like I said, in the beginning of this episode, a bodybuilder walks up to a 90-pound girl and she's like, what do you mean you want me to lift 350 pounds? Like, I can't do that. So let's start with the 3-pound weights, the 5 pounds next week, 10 pounds next week. And all of a sudden, this girl's got a dump truck and some biceps on her. You have to move slowly. You're not going to ask somebody who's been couch bound, extremely obese, that has just started losing their weight and walking again, you're not going to ask them to do a marathon, are you? No, you have to start small. Okay, let's walk to the mailbox. Let's do, I feel, because mental health and fitness tie so close together. And of course, even with my fitness stuff that I love doing and training that I enjoy doing, I know they're closely tied together because they make sense together. And we all know that exercise does improve mental health. If you allow it to, of course, you have to do it in a correct way, but also it definitely does. I mean, the science is behind it. So improving your mental health, even if you just go for walks in the day or being in nature, the science behind nature and the body and mind are huge as well. So putting yourself out there outside in the yard and creating a safe space for you to take these small steps, though, that's where you can start. So it makes the journey so much less overwhelming when you just take the small steps. Don't try to deadlift 350 right now. So even, for example, say your goal is to reduce your stress, okay? Your actionable steps might include daily meditation, setting boundaries, seeking support even from friends or professionals. I recommend therapy to everybody. You already know that. I'm such a big cheerleader for therapy. I think it's such a good thing to do. And of course, with the right therapist, you have to leave there feeling successful and like you achieved something. If you leave therapy not feeling great about yourself or feeling like you were attacked, of course, that is not the right therapist for you. But even stress, pick your most stressful time of your day and start there. I think even for myself, I told you last week, you know, even packing orders, that's a really stressful time for me, trying to make sure it's perfect and I get so many and trying to keep it all in order and the correct ones. There are some nights I'm laying up and I'm staring at the boxes that I have to take full of packages to the post office the next day. And I'm going, what if I got one wrong? What if I got one wrong? One night I was like manic and I tore open like 5 packages to recheck them because I'm like, did I put those earrings in there? Did I put that shirt in there? Did I put the correct items in there? I second guessed myself. So sometimes doing orders can be stressful for me. So I started taking it slower and more one by one. I created a system to where I can double, triple check to make myself feel better and know that I'm not in a hurry. I'm not in a rush. These people do not think I'm Amazon. Stop trying to be so quick. Slow down. I've never had an order mishap. So why am I traumatized over something I've never created for myself? Or I get stressed out taking my son to school in the morning sometimes if we're running behind or running late or somebody cuts me off. This morning, a gentleman cut me off. I see you, you tan Saturn, cut me off so bad that, of course, could I have thrown my hands up? Could I have maybe put a special finger out the window? Could I have cursed out loud or under my breath and projected that negativity into my son before he even got to school? Yeah, I could have. But that is part of reducing your stress, and it's not avoiding the stress. When people say reduce your stress, there's only so much you can do. Life is stressful. It just is what it is. And you have to find ways to stop that stress. So instead, I took a look from the outside, from a different perspective. And that's what we have to do. We have to look at things from a perspective you never thought to look at it from. And sometimes therapists can help you do that if you cannot do it on your own yet. But you have to look differently. You know, maybe they're in a hurry. Maybe they're having a hard day. Maybe he's feeling like a freaking asshole for cutting me off. Maybe he didn't see me. You know how many times I've accidentally got out in front of somebody? I'm like, oh shit. And I'm gunning it. You know, like those small moments of our lessons. Or I've told you guys, you know, when there's a confrontation with somebody, did I yell? Did I scream? Did I curse? Those are moments that you can mark as success of going, okay, I wouldn't have handled that way years ago. You know, another crucial aspect of achieving your mental health goals is tracking your progress. Tracking your progress, keeping a journal, document in your journal everything. Celebrate those small victories, no matter how small they seem. Road rage this morning. I was excited that I didn't flip my finger out the window because let's face it, 5 years ago, Sarah would have tailgated that guy and I wouldn't have cared if I totaled my car rear-ending him because you're going to know you made me mad. For what? For what? You know, there's so many, you have to do little things. As my husband would say, if you're throwing a bunch of shit at the wall, some of it is bound to stick. There's going to be something that's going to make you successful in your mental health journey. He always cracks me up when he says that because, I mean, it's talking about anything. I'm like, oh, well, like I did this week. It didn't work. I did this and it did work. I did this, but it didn't work. I'm struggling with this or something. And I'll rant to him sometimes and he'll say, oh, just keep throwing shit. You know, some of it's bound to be sticky. Like something's going to stick eventually and it's going to work and it's going to click and it's going to make sense for you. That's going to make sense for you moving forward in your goals. And even myself, so I, of course, I'm massive on journaling. And if you've been with us since 2019 or 2020, I don't remember when we started. It was sometime. I'm going to have to look back on that. I know we're almost at our 100th episode, and that is mind-blowing to me. Anyways, when I looked back at my journal that I got in January, I buy a new journal at the beginning of every year. Of course, sometimes it can dwindle out, and sometimes I'll go, oh, I haven't wrote in it for months, but other times when I'm having struggles or maybe I'm feeling low on myself or maybe I want to feel good about myself, I'll open that journal and I'll see what I wrote back in February or March or whatever. And sometimes when I'm in a really great mood, I get that journal out and I open to random pages and I'll write inspirational things, whether it be, you've got this, you're having good days, you're successful, God wouldn't have put it in your heart if you weren't supposed to claim it. Like things like that for me, they work for me, they're positive for me. And so on my hard days, when I'm flipping through there, I'll see those little notes on random pages and I'll go, okay, yeah, I forgot I even wrote that. You know, 6 months ago, I completely forgot. And it reminds you of where you've come from. It reminds you of how far you've come. Even in my business stuff, a lot of my journal in the first 4 months of the year were mainly about my business. And I looked back and I go, oh my gosh, I had question marks next to probably 30 plus questions and topics. I had no idea how I was going to get this business going. I had no idea what certain things meant. I had no idea how to create a website or how to make it function, how to work it, how to code it. I had no idea the licenses and creating and taxing. And I didn't go to college. I don't consider myself not smart. I just didn't learn, I think, basic knowledge about certain things that I'm learning in adulthood. I mean, the amount of research and studying I've done on these things is massive. So when I look back at those things that I just didn't know about business, I didn't go to school for business. Like that's not what I went to school for. I didn't do that stuff. I did, you know, I liked fitness. I didn't even do that until I was in my 30s. Like I dropped out of high school. I did a degree online. I couldn't even get my GED because when I went to do the testing, I passed the first test, but there was a second day that I did. I had such a bad panic attack that I never went back. It was awful. It was my school was awful. I had terrible anxiety, terrible stomach aches. I was a hot mess. So I wasn't successful in those areas. Creating a business for me seemed like something so far away from my grasp that I couldn't even fathom how I was going to do it. And doing, you know, saving the money to start it and, you know, talking to banks and my husband and creating this, looking back on that journal, I cannot believe that just in a little under a year how far I've come. So tracking those steps, and even in that journal, I was struggling with my son being in school. He was having a little bit of a challenging year last year with trying to figure some things out. We eventually got it on track though, and his teachers this year, and he did his tutoring over the summer, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I didn't think we would get here even. So tracking my progress for things that stressed me out, things that I didn't think I would get through, things that maybe I looked at and felt so defeated, I had forgotten them. That's what I mean by tracking your progress. I know I went on a little bit of a tangent there, but it was something that I was mind blown over. I remember, just like I said, looking at those question marks in my journal, and I go, I didn't know that stuff. And now I know it like the back of my hand. I can close my eyes and tell you what all of these mean. You will get to the place where certain things don't trigger you and trauma you like they would before working on your mental health. Considering seeking out a support system. So sharing your goals with your friends or joining a mental health group, and that can provide you with encouragement and accountability you need on this journey. So I told you, you know, Facebook groups and support groups and things like that. That is a wonderful place to start, but be careful because some of them can also be triggers. You know, they can sometimes post a lot of negativity. So you have to steer clear of those things as well. But I really do. I think at the heart of mental health and well-being, I think the biggest thing we need to take away from this is having self-compassion, having compassion for yourself. And I'm going to tell you what that means. Mornings are already rough, so why not make it easier with Javi? J-A-V-Y. Javi Coffee is dairy-free, sugar-free, gluten-free, plant-powered, non-GMO, and ethically sourced. Javi Coffee is so simple. You take 1 to 2 teaspoons, pour it in hot or cold water, put in your favorite toppings or creamer, and you're on the go. No stops in the morning, no waiting in line, no getting that machine out that you don't even know if it's clean. Drink Javi Coffee and get 20% off with Sarah, S-A-R-A 43934 today. Javi Coffee will change your whole morning mood. Drink Javi today. It's funny because when I pre-recorded this episode, it was around 45 minutes, and I think I'm going to have it wrapped up in under 30. I'm talking so fast because I'm running out of breath. Oh God, don't let me be sick. I've been taking vitamins like M&Ms. Okay, so let's see. Self-compassion. That's what I want to talk about. So many people think of self-compassion as just being nice to yourself, and they're like, yeah. Like, say three things to myself, Sarah. Yeah, I know the drill. Another way I want you to look at it, self-compassion is like having a compassionate friend within you. I want you to look at yourself as your friend, okay? It's about treating yourself with the same kindness and care and understanding that you would offer to your best friend or your spouse that's going through a tough time. And when somebody said that to me, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, of course. How would I talk to my best friend? How would I talk to my son? And then why can't I talk to myself that way? So that's what I had to start doing. Even if I heard in my head the negativity, out loud, I would counteract it with something positive, even if I didn't believe it. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself kindly in order to get that repetition up and create that new sledding hill, if you guys remember. Create the new sledding hill. Sometimes it goes slow and then all of a sudden you groove right in there and you're flying down that hill. So do that and create that. Let's explore how you can cultivate self-compassion in your life, because it's not always easy, but it's definitely worth it. An effective way to start that is by correcting your inner dialogue. Pay attention to how you talk to yourself. And would you say that to a friend in a similar situation? If not, it's time to, you know, reframe your self-talk with kindness. So if you do something and your first initial thought is negativity, I want you to text yourself like you're your best friend and say everything you're thinking. And then I want you to read it back to yourself and go, oh, what would I say to my best friend? Do you understand? Do you understand that you would never say the certain things that you're saying to yourself to your best friend? It's another powerful tool. Okay, so in self-compassion is practicing self-forgiveness, I feel like. Because we do all make mistakes and it is part of being human, instead of dwelling, like we've talked about before, we don't want to dwell on the past. We want to stop bringing up the past. We want to learn from them, and we want to grant ourselves the same forgiveness as we would give to others. So do that, create that. Practice forgiving yourself for not talking kind, because the moment that you start to forgive yourself is the moment that you can start moving on from those things. You can say, I am so sorry that I was so quick to let you think you were a failure, that I was so quick to let you think you weren't going to be successful, that I was so quick to call you those names when your jeans didn't fit that day, that I was so quick to say you weren't good at anything or you were never going to learn something, or called you those nasty, vulgar names. We've all been there. I've told you guys, you know, I've struggled so long finding what worked for me, and the negativity that followed what was working for me, whether it was social media, photography, fitness, my boutique, all the things I jump around to, those are all things that aren't as common in my circle of people that were around me at the time. I got a lot of negativity, and it was hard for me to decipher their voices from my own, because I was enjoying myself. I was supporting myself. I was helping support my family. I was enjoying what I was doing. I was waking up every day smiling, enjoying doing my podcast, enjoying creating looks and creating and helping people feel good about themselves. But yet, I let judgments of others become my inner dialogue. You have to decipher your voice from others. Are you hearing your voice, or are you hearing your biggest hater's voice that made that comment that one time and every single word and letter stuck with you because you read it on a screen and it's a picture in your brain? I know how easy that is. The amount of negativity that I could pour out of my social medias and messages would appall you all. It really would. There are some negative people out there that don't see the hard work you're putting in because they don't want to do it themselves. So they're quick to point out the negativity. Quick. I literally seen a picture today, and it was of the same gentleman holding a phone with the likes and loves and comments on, and he said, "I got a new job," and it had 174 loves and 70 some comments. And then in the next picture he posted, "I started a new business," and it had like 6 likes and 1 comment. And it just goes to show that when you're doing what everybody else is doing, they're like, okay, you're not better than me. Great. But when they think for just a moment you might be better than them, which I don't consider it better than them. I think that certain people haven't taken the leap into what they authentically want to do, and they're just going with the flow and playing in that robotic mode because they're too scared to step out of their comfort zone. So many people are in their dream job, have their dream lives, have their dream families, and they still don't feel good enough because other people think that they should be somewhere else. Other people that think they should be doing something else, or that they shouldn't be allowed to do certain things because who are you? Guess what? You're you. That's exactly who you are. Forgive yourself for even taking a moment to entertain people's negativity. It doesn't belong. It doesn't have a place to live. You're not being disloyal to yourself. You're being authentic to yourself. Create that forgiveness, okay? And give it to yourself, especially if you still have those people around you, because if you can forgive them. Also, I wanted to talk about, now I always, of course, am talking about meditation and things like that, but mindfulness is also an excellent practice for developing self-compassion. It helps you stay present and acknowledge your feelings without judgment and respond to yourself with love and understanding. If I say one more time, feel free to send me a death threat though, okay? So mindfulness is an excellent practice. I get a moment of anxiety sometimes in my work. So I will create a second that I can step back and go, where am I in this moment? I'm present right here in this moment, creating this email, sending out these packages, or going to pick up my son from school, going to the grocery store. Where am I in this exact moment? A ton of episodes ago, I don't know if anybody remembers, but sometimes we have to be mindful in moment to moment with anxiety and just being mindful of our present time. When I was driving, sometimes if I would have anxiety or something, I would say, just get to that stop sign up ahead. Just get to this red light. Just wait for it to turn green. Just wait for your turn signal to click off. And I would literally be moment to moment. Sometimes we have to do that again and again to remain present in our lives. And that's just, of course, a mirror of what I want to say for, you know, stop sign and stop light is in your life. Sometimes you just have to get through that hard moment, that hard day. We're just going to do dinner. We're just going to do homework. Next, we're just going to do shower. Don't say it 3 steps at a time. Say it 1 step at a time. After the shower, okay, now I'm going to unload the dishwasher. Things like that. Sometimes you have to make yourself be present, not always due to anxiety, but due to the fact that we can find ourselves thinking so far ahead that it can come back as you're not in that present moment with your family. So be there. Be in the present moment even with yourself when you're trying to find that self-love and forgiveness and compassion within your heart. Sometimes you really need to practice those things. Transforming power of self-compassion, I want to talk about the fact that when you create practicing your inner voice and being that supportive friend, not being such, you know, like a harsh critic of yourself, you will learn to love yourself better. It's just the science behind it. I know maybe there's not actual science, but I feel like a scientist in saying so. When you love yourself better, when you're more compassionate with yourself, when you're more kind to yourself, the energy you create around you becomes radiant. Positive things attract to you. Sometimes the negativity you put off, and people wonder why their life is negative. They wonder why things keep happening to them. Why is this happening to me? Oh my gosh, my life sucks. Oh my gosh, I don't feel good. Oh my gosh, I feel blah, or I'm not having a good day. I'm feeling lazy. Da, 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 da. Knock it off. The negative self-talk will eat you alive. As we wrap up this segment of, you know, self-compassion and self-forgiveness and keeping track of your mental well-being, I want you to know that you are deserving of your own kindness. Treat yourself and cherish yourself. You have to cherish yourself, you guys, okay? Have you heard the news? Spotify has amazing new ways to listen to your favorite music and podcasts. Be sure to turn on notifications to Loving Yourself Completely to never miss an episode. Download Spotify today for free. Okay, before we wrap up, I have an important announcement for you listeners. Starting soon, we will be offering ad-free episodes for 99 cents a month. This charge is to ensure that our content remains accessible to our true listeners who value my mission. There can be a lot of negativity that comes with these podcasts and certain people that listen to it. And because I am so public on all of my platforms, I have to be very delicate with who my listeners are and the messages I receive. So if you choose to bring your negativity into my subscriptions, you will be charged to be negative. And our positive listeners, I know you understand. And I hope that you know your support means the world to me. I do want to keep going in this, and I kind of need to weed out the negativity a little bit. So that's all for today's episode of Loving Yourself Completely. Remember, your mental health journey is unique and you deserve the love and care that you give to yourself. Everybody's on their own unique journey, okay? Take care of it. Keep working on those mental health goals. Keep your journal. You're on the path to loving yourself completely. And please note that there will be no new episode next week, but we'll be back soon. I say we a lot. I do that in my store too. I'm like, we have new arrivals. I'm like, it's just me. Just me working my little ass off. Okay. Stay tuned for more empowering content on Loving Yourself Completely. Write into lovingyourselfcompletely@gmail.com. Message us on Instagram. Follow our Instagram. And remember, be kind to yourself. You deserve it. Bye.